Good evening. Tonight here, the story of the children, the orphans of this pandemic, their untold bravery. We have been documenting their journey for months now. There have been so many painful milestones, this country now marking 1 million lives lost to COVID. And while we often hear about the numbers, it is rare we hear about the children who've lost a parent. Hundreds of thousands of children here in the U.S., quietly getting up every day, going to school, to work, and setting a powerful, moving example of true strength in this pandemic. At 5:30 in the morning, A.J. Arellano arrives at school, football practice, in honor of his dad.
I just know that he's watching me. It helps me with playing better, you know?
5:45 a.m., Trey Burrows is about to leave for work.
This is, like, actually happening to us.
6 a.m., his sister Jenny, up two. They are now raising their two sisters, hoping to make their mother proud.
Let's go.
Across this country, the young people showing their resilience. Kylie Coney walking down the hallway in high school.
Everything happened so suddenly and so fast.
Her brother Colton with his backpack. Life without their dad. Cornelia Bell getting on the school bus, a first grader, now without her mother and her father. 4-year-old Elsie, 2-year-old Graham, out the door before the sun comes up. Barely old enough to remember their father. For months now, we have witnessed the quiet strength of the children facing a new day without a parent. More than 250,000 children here in the U.S. have lost a parent or a primary caregiver in this pandemic. Kylie and Colton's dad was always so proud.
All right, Colton!
A big birthday girl.
On this day in Lyndhurst, New Jersey, Colton is about to honor his father.
You got a big game today, huh?
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Your dad was a big hockey guy.
Yeah.
What's been the hardest part for you?
Not being able to see him every day. Like, it was always good waking up and seeing him.
His sister Kylie, down the hall.
Do you find yourself still talking to your dad?
Sometimes I'll text him, and I think that helps me.
You still text him?
Yeah, it's like my way of communicating. It is bittersweet because I know I'm not gonna get a reply back.
The sunset she sent her father.
What did you say?
Thank you for the beautiful sky. I miss you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you know your mom has been doing the same thing?
No, I did not.
Yep. You caught me.
A mother in the hallway listening.
I started sleeping on his side of the bed because I couldn't bear rolling over at night and seeing that empty spot. And in the morning, you know, till I'm ready to start the day and do the best that I can as a mom, and then I'll take care of our kids.
May he'd be proud.
I hope so, yeah.
Upstairs, Colton getting ready for hockey. His father's Rangers hat right there on Colton's dresser, and his father's pins, his rings. His father was a Marine.
One of his favorite hats, and then pins and necklaces and rings from the Marines.
I heard you got his flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a tough moment?
Yeah, definitely.
We hear about the numbers, but rarely do we see the moment a child says goodbye to their parent.
Please accept this flag as a token of appreciation for your loved one's faithful and honorable service.
Colton was just 12, his hand reaching for his father's flag.
Happy birthday, dear Eric.
Their father, Eric Coney, died at just 51. He and his wife both had COVID, and Eric died the day they got the call saying the vaccines were now available for them. Colton now heads out the door for the hockey game his father would have loved.
How were the pregame nerves?
A little nervous?
All right.
His mother on the other side of the fence.
1, 2, 3, Bears! Let's go.
In Boynton Beach, Florida, Trey Burrows and his siblings starting another day without their mother.
I wake up at 5:30, take a shower, and then hopefully I have a little bit of time
to read my Bible and eat a bit of food. I'm studying to become a firefighter.
Cindy Dawkins, a single mother of four, died from COVID. She had been afraid of the vaccine.
Once I got the news, which was over the phone, obviously I cried and I was super sad. And my mind went to my sisters. How are we gonna make sure we all stay together?
Found out she had COVID one day. The next day she was gone.
Jenny and her brother Trey are now the parents.
We're making good time this morning.
She fixes Sierra's makeup.
Okay, perfect.
Zoe getting ready too. Early on, the harsh new reality, the bills.
You were prepared to be homeless.
Oh, yes, 100%. Our biggest thing was just trying to keep everybody together.
And then the help from the angels.
It came, thankfully.
Miss Cheney.
Exactly.
This is the Broward receipt for the
best. Oh, right.
Janie Yoshida knew these children needed someone. Her daughter had been in the school play with Trey.
We have to file a final tax return for your mom.
We do?
We do.
Janie started a GoFundMe for the children, hoping to keep them together.
We'll reconvene tomorrow.
Becoming parents has been difficult.
I had a hard time admitting that I felt kind of guilty because I felt very, tired, stressed out, just wanting to be by myself sometimes.
It is okay.
Yeah.
And who's looking out for you?
Honestly, it's a lot. It's a lot.
And in our months following these children, we noticed something else. Every day, Jenny and her mother's necklace.
I don't feel right not wearing it. I've worn it every day since I got it from the hospital, so.
She was wearing that when she went to the hospital?
Yeah, yeah. This is the first thing that they handed to me. And ever since then, I've had it.
Every one of these children carries their parent with them. It's 5 a.m. and A.J. Arellano is up. He knows that's what his father would have wanted.
Have a good day. Bye. Love you, son.
He's off to football practice.
So it's 5:24 in the morning.
His father, Alan, was just 49. He'd had his first shot of the vaccine, and he was waiting on the second.
Part of why you're here is your dad, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You think about him every day?
Every day, especially when I wake up.
AJ still remembers when he learned he'd lost his father.
Our father, who art in heaven.
The first game of the season, AJ was in Georgia. His father was in the hospital in a coma, and AJ had sent him a message.
Hi, Daddy, it's me, AJ. Tomorrow's my game against Benedictine, and I'm gonna play really good for you, Dad. I love you. When I got home from a long bus ride back home from Georgia at around 4 or 5 a.m., I learned the news from my mom as soon as I walked through the door. She was just crying hysterically, and I kind of knew, so I just gave her a hug. I kind of didn't feel for a good 30 seconds. It was just like I was just frozen, kind of stuck.
Numb,
yeah. It just didn't make sense. Like, how could that happen, you know? So I just went upstairs, and I just remember just crying all night.
And grateful you had sent that video.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's been 9 months now without his father.
Before every game, you go to the sideline?
Yeah, right over there.
And what do you do?
Well, I say a little prayer, and I talk to my dad just like I would. Before every game, he'd give me a phone call, so I just act like I'm on the same phone call, and I just hear him talking back with me.
You still hear his voice?
Yeah, definitely.
His mother, Karen, is always there for him and his younger brother, Evan. Karen is also there for her husband.
I feel like now my job is really to live for both of us.
Hi, Sydney.
Because I, too, don't like to miss anything. So I sit here for both of us. I sit here and I watch for both of us. And I cheer for both of us.
Karen knows she must now get the boys to college, but for now, She's just getting through the month.
This is my reality right now. Bills that need to be paid.
Her husband was a college counselor. Karen is a kindergarten teacher. And now, it's her salary alone.
With my income, after I pay the mortgage, I have $200 left. That doesn't include the water, the electricity, the food. As a teacher with a teacher's salary, it's kind of overwhelming.
On the Choctaw Reservation in Mississippi,
set your bones.
The scope of the loss is devastating. The little girl who lost both parents, Mylindy Bell, now raising her 7-year-old niece, Cornelia Jarosz.
Where's your jacket and your mask?
Her parents, Craig and Mindy Bell, died just 3 months apart, both getting COVID before the vaccines were ready.
That's Mylindy in the blue jacket, and that's Tashta in the black jacket. They're my mama and daddy, but they died.
And Mylindy is about to bring her niece to the COVID memorial on the reservation.
They made this cross for those that passed from COVID. So like Mamo and your mama, they did this in honor of them.
Let's honor me.
Like honoring people, you know, because they've passed. The Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians dedicated to those, the lives of those lost to the COVID-19 pandemic. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart.
In Waldwick, New Jersey, Pamela Addison, now raising Elsie and Graham alone. Her husband, Martin, died before the vaccines were available. His last birthday with Elsie, she was turning 2.
Should we make your birthday cake now? Should we finish it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, nice job, Elsie. Your cake looks so pretty.
I know.
Graham was just 5 months old.
Martin's laying next to him, and he just says, I love you. And I'm so happy I have that because he didn't get to really hear that often. So that would be a really special video when he's old enough to understand.
And as we followed this young family,
need a hug? All right, I love you.
We learned that Elsie's first time saying, I love you, came while in the car. And her mom says she was talking to her dad in heaven.
That was the first time she ever said, I love you, because that was like the stage that she finally understood what love was, and he missed that.
She says her daughter, now 4, is carrying the weight of this.
She gets sad when people leave. Like, if we have like a little gathering, like her third birthday, she told me she was sad after, and we're like, why are you sad? She goes, because everyone left, you know? It's like that abandonment.
Are we fully aware of the loss that children have faced?
I don't think so. I really don't.
Dr. Susan Hillis is worried about the children too. She spent years at the CDC and has now authored the report, The Hidden Pandemic.
There are so many children who start their day without a parent now. Breakfast, the walk to the school bus, the school dance. And is there enough being done to make sure that child isn't alone?
There is not nearly enough being done, and that's why it's so important that all of us begin to ask these questions. In the United States, for every 4 COVID deaths, we have 1 child left behind, orphaned of their parent or grandparent.
Pamela has now started a Facebook group for other parents who are now raising their children alone. 980 mothers joining already.
There you go.
Elsie is now about to turn 4. She remembers the sprinkles with her father.
She definitely knows that this is the time where Papa disappeared. So I just try to, you know, keep a happy face, and, you know, obviously he's in our hearts and we're on our minds. She came up with this theme herself, and I know it's like honoring him.
As we document these families, the turning points.
Feeling so excited.
What's about to happen to this family when we come back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
6 months after losing their mother, they are now packing. With their two jobs and money raised by that mom, Janie Yoshida, on GoFundMe, they are now about to move into their first house, their mother's dream.
She's always wanted a house for us, so I know she's probably ecstatic right now.
So you made dinner already for tonight?
Yes,
that made sure. So what is dinner?
Baked chicken and rice, white rice.
I might have to stay a little longer.
As part of his training, we watch as Trey returns from a call with the Palm Beach Gardens Fire Rescue Station 65. And we go to find him after the test at Palm Beach State College.
So how'd it go? Yeah, you passed the first one?
Yes, sir.
You feeling good?
Yeah.
All right. The smile says it all.
Turning points for all of the families. Cornelia about to make the honor roll.
Cornelia Rose Bale.
She's now finishing the first grade and getting ready for the Choctaw's first festival since this pandemic started.
They get to choose two dances and they dance in front of the whole community.
The community, the children who've lost so much here, together again. And back in Lyndhurst, New Jersey, Kylie and Colton now marking 1 year without their father. And they're doing it with something their dad loved, mini golf. A hole in one for mom. But 1 year later, the moments when the pain is still raw. A relative posting a tribute to their father on Facebook.
Today marks 1 year since you're gone.
A hug for her mother. And the speech Kylie is about to give for her father.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kylie Coney. Going back to school was and still is the most challenging thing I ever had to conquer. This year, my brother decided to join hockey. We are slowly learning to find happiness in our lives again. Perhaps sharing can let other families know, let other children know that they are not alone. Thank you.
That brave speech from a young daughter, words she never thought she would have to write, standing up for all of the children who have lost a parent and urging this country not to forget. We have been so moved by all of the children, the families who let us into their homes and into their lives. And to learn more about how you can help, go to abcnews.com. I'm David Muir. From all of us here at Nightline and ABC News, good night.